All right, welcome back. Dennis Stuckey Show here on a Tuesday. Matt Shook worked at the Times Herald probably longer ago than I want to admit, but I'm struggling with my old age, Matt. But welcome back to the program. As you know, we occasionally have Matt on. He does a podcast, does a lot of talk about the Pistons. We'll get to the Pistons, but obviously the news of the day is the Golden Tate trade, and I know, Matt, you cover the Lions as well. Your thoughts on all of this?
Yeah, we had the conference call with Jim Bob Cooter and Matt Patricia and Paul Pasqualoni today, and this was before the trade came down, and we're asking about it. Of course, they gave the boilerplate answers of we don't know anything, and we're just going about getting ready for the Minnesota Vikings. But then the news broke, and from a fan's perspective, you can kind of see it both ways. I don't have a great hot take for you on this one, because with your head, you're thinking, well, a third-round pick for a rental and a guy who probably wasn't going to sign here long-term because, you know, given the Patriot way that Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn brought with them from New England, they're not going to put a lot of money into veteran wide receivers. It's just not one of those spots you want to tie up a lot of your salary cap with. But on the other hand, man, if you're a Lions fan and you kind of got excited about a couple of nice wins this year, you're looking at 3-4 and a winnable division, one that you're one game out right now against the teams that have struggles of their own with Green Bay and Minnesota and Chicago. This is a tough kind of punch to the gut to take in late October while you're thinking that you might have some meaningful football to watch for the next couple months.
Yeah, the message, I think, to the fans and maybe even to the players on the team is management has given up on this season. But I also see their perspective on this, because Kenny Golladay is obviously your guy for the future, and you still have Marvin Jones, so you're still pretty thick at that position. And hey, you weren't winning with Golden Tate now, so you can lose without him now too.
Yeah, absolutely. And they do feel like they have something with TJ Jones there. Whenever he does get a little bit of run, he seems to make some pretty big catches, especially last year and a little bit this year as well. And then you got Brandon Powell, who had such a great preseason for the Lions. He was active for the first time this past Sunday, returning a couple punts. No real success there, but we did see some glimpses from him in the preseason, and he's probably a guy who's going to be out in the field on Sundays a little bit more. And but yeah, you're one injury away from being real thin at that wide receiver position right now.
My big question is really not the Golden Tate thing. My big question is, why haven't I heard that Amir Abdullah has been let go?
Yeah, I mean, to talk about another stomach punch, that kickoff return fumble on his first touch in a while was certainly one that took the air out of the stadium. I was there on Sunday covering it for the Associated Press, and that was just a bad moment. And surely Bob Quinn would have traded him if they could get anything for him, but certainly he's not a guy that any teams are coveting with his fumble problems right now.
Let me ask you this and get your opinion on this, Matt, because my stance was, when they fired Jim Caldwell and hired Matt Patricia, this was not a rebuild. This was, we already have the team, we just need the guy to take us to the next step. And now with this trade, it suddenly feels kind of like a rebuild.
Yeah, I agree completely. That was kind of what we were sold, right? That the guy who's good, you know, Caldwell did a good job of maybe steering the ship and turning it around a little bit in terms of getting the consistency, getting guys to, be more professional, I guess. There was a lot of personal fouls and really backbreaking penalties in the Jim Schwartz era, and then you come back, but Jim Caldwell kind of cleaned up a lot of those things. Like you said, there's no excuse for Matt Patricia to not make the playoffs this year, this trade notwithstanding. I think you say you've got a guy who's winning 9-7 every year, occasionally a little bit better than that, making the playoffs 2 out of every 4 years. I kept saying in the offseason, it's like the Detroit Lions are forgetting that they're the Detroit Lions. You know, I mean, it's a team that we're used to seeing struggle so much, and that they're believing in the fact that they could be a Super Bowl contending type of team. Obviously, we haven't seen that yet, and there's no situation where the Lions miss the playoffs this year, and I expect that will happen now and even before this trade, but there's no situation that is anything other than a complete failure for year one of the Matt Patricia era.
All right, let's switch gears. The Pistons got off to a fast start, won their first four, lost to Boston the other night. They're back in Boston tonight. It seems pretty cut and dry to me, Matt. When Griffin, Drummond, and Jackson do their thing, the Pistons win. They didn't do their thing Saturday against the Celtics, and they lost.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, especially Blake Griffin. The start that he had in those first four games, he was incredible. And then, you know, he got taken out of his game pretty early with a couple of non-calls that kind of got against him. And Andre Drummond went into foul trouble early. The Celtics hit some shots. You're down 12 late in the first quarter. And next thing you know, I mean, that's the team that you can't really come back against. It's a team you got to get out to a nice start. We listen to George Blaha on the TV, and we listen to Mark Champion. George Blaha always says that first quarter leads don't mean much in the NBA. Well, I think the Celtics are maybe that one team in the Eastern Conference that you don't want to fall behind, even in the first quarter by double digits, because that's going to snowball on you, especially the way that they shoot, the way that they defend with discipline, and just the way that they play. It's a tough team to come back against, especially for the Pistons, who struggled. I think they shot 18% from threes. They're not going to beat anyone when they do that. So, you know, tonight's everyone was talking about going into Saturday's game being the final exam, the midterm or the early season test for the Pistons to show that 4-0 start means something. I would actually say it's more tonight's game is that test is, because it was inevitable that Boston was going to shoot well at some point after struggling off through their first five games, and it was inevitable that the Pistons at 4-0 at some point were going to have one of those letdown games. And the way that the game started, that easily became evident that was going to be a serious game. So how do you bounce back against a team that you're very familiar with that you saw a couple nights ago? Daniel Theis is out for the Celtics, a guy who scored 19 points on Saturday night. So maybe that opens the door for things to loosen up for Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond inside a little bit. And so I think tonight will be a good barometer of if you get blown out twice in a row by Boston, and they're a very good team, but that probably tells you that, you know, you're a good two steps behind where you want to be as far as being a solid Eastern Conference playoff team.
Boston's interesting to me, Matt. They've been good for a few years, but they never stand pat. Like, there's constant roster change with that basketball team. I mean, they were good like 3 years ago, but they move Avery Bradley to the Pistons. They move Isaiah Thomas. It seems like they're constantly moving players, and they've always got a new roster. And I was just looking at who played Saturday night, and there were a lot of unfamiliar names to me, because a lot of the familiar names, guys that were routine Piston killers, are gone. They've been moved someplace else. If they don't win it, they're not satisfied just being good. They keep changing their roster.
Yeah, you are absolutely right about that. I mean, the way that they've overturned that roster from two years ago to last year was just unbelievable. And really, not by making all that many moves coming into this year, that they added Gordon Hayward, who missed all but the first couple minutes of last season. Kyrie Irving missed a lot of the playoffs and a lot of the regular season with injuries as well. So you add him. I mean, those are two all-NBA type of players that you added for not doing all that much. Now you have nine deep on that rotation. You're adding guys like Robert Williams, who was a late first-round pick for the Celtics this year. With Daniel Theis being out, he's a guy you're going to see tonight who might get some minutes, an exciting big man out of Texas A&M there. They've also got Sacramento's pick in next season. I believe as long as it's not the number one pick of the draft, they're going to get Sacramento's pick. And there's no other pick you'd rather have in the NBA than Sacramento's pick. So, I mean, another good player coming in next year for the Celtics. This is a team that will be good for a long, long time. And if you've been following the NBA for decades, they've already been good for a long, long time. But a franchise that Danny Ainge, I mean, it all started with that Brooklyn trade when Mikhail Prokhorov got the Nets to try to win now, go get Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, and the Celtics fleeced them for all those first-round draft picks, which ended up being all these great players, including ended up Jason Tatum after another trade was made with Philadelphia. And so Jason Tatum's an exciting guy to watch for Pistons fans tonight, even though it will be on the other end. A guy who's really coming into his own as one of the top 10 or 15 players in the league now.
All right, a guy that doesn't excite me, but the Pistons run him out there when he's healthy, is John Luehr. Is this just the money? Is that why they have to play this guy?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's part of it. Because you're paying him that much money, that you have to get something for him at this point. I mean, there's just not a lot of front court depth for the Pistons. You have Drummond, you have Griffin, and then you have Zaza Pachulia, who's good for some fouls, good for some toughness, and good for getting in the way of the other team and knocking down the occasional open shot as well. But you just need some kind of other dynamic from that front court. And John Luehr certainly isn't a guy that you can count on for that, but it's possible that that might be able to happen. He had stretches with Phoenix where he was knocking down some three-pointers. That has not happened in Detroit even when he has been healthy. But there has been stretches throughout his career. I mean, there's a reason, not very good reason, but there was reasons that Stan Van Gundy gave him a $44 million contract, and John Mueller is going to have those opportunities to come in and try to prove that that was worth something. I mean, and he's another guy who might be a trade candidate too, not that he's going to have a lot of value, but if you're a Pistons team who wants to try to acquire some more talent, he has a salary that could match up with somebody that you might have to attach a first-round pick to him or something like that. But a guy that you want to start seeing what you have there, because they made a big move, or not a big move, but a direction kind of altering trade with the front court today. Not a trade, but a move by declining the fourth-year option for Henry Ellenson going into next season. So Ellenson's still a member of the Pistons this year, but the Pistons renounced his rights for next summer, and he will become an unrestricted free agent. So between, you know, John Mueller, the Henry Ellenson, but between guys like John Mueller and Zaza Pachulia, who's near contract, they got to figure out what they're going to be doing with the bench and that front court going forward.
Yeah, I'm disappointed about this Henry Ellenson thing. I just never feel like he got a legitimate shot to show the Pistons what he can do. This guy was a good player in college, and I know college and NBA aren't the same thing, but I just don't feel like the Pistons did much to develop this kid, and I certainly don't feel like he got an opportunity, and I feel like maybe they're going to let somebody get away who ends up having a pretty good NBA career.
Yeah, I agree that he certainly didn't get a chance. Looking back, you kind of wonder why he didn't spend this entire rookie season in Grand Rapids playing and getting used to the athleticism that you're going to see in the NBA. Looking back, that was something that Stan Van Gundy basically dropped the ball on. And as far as Henry Ellenson now, like I said, he's still a member of the Pistons this year, still under contract. And we saw last year with Orlando, they did the same thing in renouncing the rights to Mario Hezonja for his fourth year. He ended up that happening to him, and then he ended up having a great season last year as one of the best options on the Orlando Magic, and then went out and got a lot of money from the New York Knicks in free agency, like everyone else pretty much does. But, I mean, that ended up being a move that backfired for the Orlando Magic. And if something opens up where Henry Ellenson is able to get some consistent playing time and show the kind of offensive player that he can be, which makes up for maybe some of his defensive problems he has, then that can show that, you know, maybe the Pistons made the wrong move, and they could certainly sign him as a free agent again next summer if they'd like. But it's a move that is kind of a risky move that very well could backfire for the Pistons.
I would rather see him out getting Lures minutes than John Lure being on the floor. Last question, Luke Kennard's injury, how serious and how does it affect him and how does it affect the Pistons?
It sounds like it's going to be about 3 to 4 weeks. He's going to have 2 weeks before he gets reevaluated, and then you got to get into kind of some basketball shape into there. That's a handful of games. I mean, it's a lot of the season. It doesn't sound like a lot when you say 3 or 4 weeks, but there's a lot of basketball games being played into there. How it affects the Pistons this year is you're going to have to rely more on guys like Glenn Robinson III, Stanley Johnson, and Reggie Bullock. And unfortunately, Luke Kennard is probably your best three-point shooter on the whole roster right now. So guys like, you know, Ish Smith, who's having a great start from three-point land, he's going to have to stay above water there. And really, Glenn Robinson III is going to be the guy who's going to get a lot more minutes off of this. And maybe you might see some more Bruce Brown or maybe even Zach Lofton up from Grand Rapids too. So they do have some options, but guys that really aren't necessarily proven as guys that can go out there every day. And as far as Kennard's development, he was already behind the eight ball a little bit. He had knee surgery, or not knee surgery, but he had a knee injury in the offseason. Pretty much didn't work out much this summer at all. So his training camp was trying to get back into shape, get back to the level that he was at rookie year. And now he's going to get another step back. And, yeah, Luke's kind of, year two has not been kind to him so far, but hopefully he comes back, has a nice recovery, and gets back rolling.
All right, Matt, tell them where your podcast is.
Check it out on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, another underscore after that. You can get the links on there every day, but we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on Google Play. Get your Alexa, just say, Alexa, play Locked On Pistons Podcast. It'll play it for you every day.
Perfect. Thanks for doing this, Matt.
Thanks, Dennis, anytime.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. All right, we're going to take a break here, and then we'll be back with more on the Dennis Stuckey Show in just a moment here on WPHM.